Right about here, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
Hey, show the cards.
Somebody's gonna get them, and somebody's gonna get them put.
Hey, boy! Hey, boy!
It's a very, very personal meeting.
Oh! And what the hell kind of description is that?
This man will make your bladder splatter.
You ain't nothing, okay?
Does go well with it.
Damn shame how they screwed up your show. Nice little program. Not that I ever watched it.
Yeah. Woo! Good evening, everybody. My name is Jim Shear, and tonight, Yin's Love, Season 5. Episode 16 of Breaking Bad, titled Felina, and that is an anagram for finale. Sadly, it is the last episode of Breaking Bad ever. And joining me today, a Yin's Love favorite, a former teacher, a man who used to shave his head when he had a full head of hair, just like Walter White, please welcome to Yin's Love, Breaking Bad, Season 5, Episode 16, Prof. D.
Thank you, Jim, for what a wonderful introduction.
Let's begin. Walt.
All right, let's do it.
He finds an unlocked car in the snow. Gets inside the car, goes through the glove compartment, finds a Marty Robbins tape, also finds a screwdriver. Then we have the beautiful Breaking Bad shot where he trying to get into the steering wheel there, and then we see the police lights. I don't think we hear anything. We just see lights. Great touch. So much tension, and all you had was a blue light and a red light. A blue red light just swirling around. Car leaves. Through the snow. You don't need any music. You don't need any sirens. That light says it all. Walt says, just get me home. I'll do the rest. Question for you, Prof. Is he talking to the car? Or is that Walter White talking to Heisenberg? Or is that Heisenberg talking to Walter White?
Wow. That's, I think it might be a little bit of all three. You know, it's, I think at this point, you know, the plan was percolating in his head. And he knew what he wanted to do, and, you know, I have to finish this through. And more of, and it might have even been a plea to, you know, to a higher deity, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Help me out here. I know I'm not, you know, a saint. I know I'm not, you know, the best person in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But help me out. I'm going to try to make things right.
Okay, because my take is that it was Heisenberg talking to Walt White. Because if it was Heisenberg who indeed went back, he would have totally gotten rid of Elliot and Gretchen.
You're jumping ahead.
Okay. So
I noticed that you need a little help staying on track during the recap. So I'm going to do my best.
I didn't like how the scene ended. He finds the keys in the visor. It seems, you know, the thing you would do on every TV show or every movie. You get into an unlocked car and you're like, oh yeah, well the keys are going to be up here because the keys are always up here. I did like how he had to use the screwdriver first and then he found the keys later. But to me, that happens a lot in TV shows. And I believe we even saw that earlier in Breaking Bad. I forget the name of the episode when there was the shootout at the swimming pool.
And then
Gus, Mike, and Jesse leave. They get in a car and they find a car where the keys are up in the visor. Or maybe the keys were in the ignition. Something. Anyway,
oh, very convenient. I think that's how they roll in the Granite State. You know, it's a little looser.
Okay.
Not a lot of crime. You know, I'm going to leave my keys in the car.
Okay, I can buy that. So then Walt is getting gas at a gas station in New Mexico, we think, or somewhere in the Southwest. He opens his trunk. We see that it's full of money. So we're pretty sure that he went back to the cabin after he stole the car. He got all of his money, put it in the trunk, and he headed west. And then
now my question to you at this point is like, so I guess he didn't want to just take the whole barrel. He had to unload the barrel and put it in the trunk. Was a big barrel too conspicuous?
Well, I would think the money in the back would be very conspicuous.
Well, but a sealed barrel in the back of the, you know, I don't know.
Maybe the barrel didn't fit in the trunk.
Oh, perhaps.
So,
if you happen to catch the little connection or little ode back to a previous episode at the gas station?
No.
So, you recall the episode where he was trying to clean up the gasoline after Jesse tried to burn the house down.
Mm-hmm.
And he concocted the crazy story about, you know, spilling gas on himself.
Mm-hmm.
And then he made the excuse that he's like, well, I wasn't even thinking, like, you know, they had a hose right there.
Oh.
And then at the gas station in this episode, he takes his pill and then takes a sip from the hose that's sure enough right there by the gas pump. I just thought it was a little funny.
Ah, nice catch.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. So then he goes to the payphone. He poses as a New York Times reporter to get an interview with Elliot and Gretchen. I guess they already set up the interview. He wants their address. He gets the address, and then he is off to Gretchen and Elliot's house. And he just, he sits outside in the darkness. You think that Gretchen is punching in some security code on the house system, but no, she's just turning on the lights and some music. So Walt steps in. Elliot and Gretchen are cooking dinner, having some small talk. And look at, if you look at Walt, he's looking at the pictures. He's feeling the wood, checking out the walls.
Yeah.
Maybe thinking about what could have been. What if I didn't sell my share of gray matter? What if I married Gretchen? Could my life have turned out like this? Maybe he thinks about it. And then Walt, so calm and collective, he's like, hello, Elliot and Gretchen. And they're like, well, what do you want? He's like, I'm here to give you something. It's in my car. And if you've watched any movie or TV show, that usually means come outside, I'm going to kill you. But it doesn't happen in Breaking Bad. Now, did you think that Walt was going to go Heisenberg on Elliot and Gretchen?
I absolutely thought they were done for.
So then Elliot pulls out his knife, and Tori said that Walt delivered a line that could have been a Mike Ehrmantraut line. He's like, Elliot, if we're going to go that way, you'll need a bigger knife. And that's, I mean, I could imagine Mike Ehrmantraut saying that. So they go out to the car, and we see that he doesn't kill them, but he makes them drag $9,720,000 into their living room. And he says, you're going to give this to my children. And then Gretchen comes in, and she says, if you want to give your kids drug money, do it yourself. And then Walt said, I can't. My son and my wife, they hate me. And then they said, well,
listen, a little word of advice to everybody. If you got a crazed, you know, meth kingpin in your house who's on the run from the law, maybe you want to bite your tongue on that. No, maybe you don't want to, you know, poke the bear, so to speak. I'm just saying.
And then a scene so at this point in time, it's a bit playful. You think, okay, well, Walt hasn't come to kill them. He has come to give money to Walt Jr. And that was his intentions from all along. He just wanted to give his family money before he died. And then, out of nowhere, two laser lights appear on Elliot's chest and Gretchen's chest. And you think, oh, no, maybe he is.
Oh, snap.
As the great Bismarck said, oh, snap, maybe he is going Heisenberg on them. And he says, if you think of doing anything else, going to the authorities, not giving my son the money, I've got two of the best hitmen west of the Mississippi.
West of the Mississippi, right.
I mean, that's a line from an old West movie. So then the scene ends by Walt saying, cheer up, beautiful people. This is where you get to make it right. So Walt goes outside. He gets to the car. He picks up his two hitmen. And who are they? Badger. And Skinny Pete. I'm glad that Badger and Skinny Pete got a curtain call on Breaking Bad.
That was one of my favorite moments. Just like, you know, just one more little episode, you know, one more appearance, which they're just such great characters.
Bringing the band back together. And you may remember a few episodes ago, Walt was asking about, or someone was asking about Jesse's friends. Maybe Walt was, and he called Badger Beaver. He's like, what's
Beaver,
his, yeah,
right.
What's his name? Beaver. But he remembers Beaver and Skinny Pete, and they help him out on this. Like, I don't feel right about this. And then he just hands them a stack of cash, and everything's going to be okay. And then he asks about the blue meth. They thought it was Walt's, and then he's like, no, it's not mine. And they come to the conclusion that Jesse is cooking the meth.
And then in Alaska.
Not in Alaska. And then we go to the oddest scene of the finale. Jesse looking like Jesus's father, Joseph, in a carpenter shop.
Yeah, that was a very... it was almost out of character from the rest of the show. I mean, the rest of the series, quite honestly.
Right.
It really put me out of sorts. I was like, what the heck is going on here?
Because I thought, this can't be a flashback because he doesn't look that young. Where is he? And then it alludes to an episode where he was in the AA meeting.
Yeah.
I didn't actually go back and watch it today, but I believe he said something about how he was good with wood and if he could have pursued that if he wanted to. So anyway,
made him happy, right, or something like that.
So he's having dreams of making the perfect wooden box, and then when his leash catches him, we see that he is back in the lab cooking meth as a slave. And you know what? Todd isn't even at the cooks anymore.
Yeah, he's nowhere to be found.
I thought that Todd would get the recipe, and he's like, okay, I got the recipe, now we're going to kill you. But Jesse's just a dog. Todd's not even watching him.
I think that was the original plan. But, I mean, let's be honest. Like, Todd is kind of a dimwit. You know, I don't think if he sat there for a year, right, the day that he could, like, you know, grasp the recipe. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was down at what, like 70% or 60% or whatever it was.
He started a fire.
And,
yeah, you're right.
Now, so they're up at like 96%. So even Jesse, like, was bringing his A game. That's Heisenberg level. Yeah. That's like beyond Heisenberg mm-hmm. level.
And when we go to, well, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but when we go to the diner, well, not the diner scene, but the coffee shop, Todd mm-hmm. is now sitting at the table with Lydia. So he's like, you know what? If I'm bringing her 96%, you know, Lydia likes that. I've got a chance, baby, with her. But before we go there, I like that they took care of the flash forwards. We see Walt at Denny's making the 52 with his bacon, and then we see him retrieve the ricin from his house.
What did you think of the flashback scene when he was at the house?
I guess with
Hank.
He was just thinking back to the beginning. Maybe thinking about, you know, what if I didn't go on that drug run with Hank?
Was that like, this is where it all changed?
This is where it started. So then we have the coffee shop. I guess it's a coffee shop.
Maybe upscale place.
An Aubon Payne, maybe.
I don't know. They have waiters coming to the table, which is a little weird, but okay.
Lydia and Todd sitting at the same table now. And we should point out that Lydia's blouse is blue. She's wearing the brand colors. And then
sporting the home team jersey.
Walt comes up to the table. Both Lydia and Todd, shocked, surprised. What the heck are you doing here? Lydia gets up and Walt's like, please, 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 just give me 2 minutes. Please, 2 minutes. And if Lydia gets up and leaves, then Walt's plan goes out the window.
Yeah.
She puts the stevia in her cup, and when they showed the close-up of her dropping the packet in her cup, everyone knew that is where the ricin went. So Walt says, listen, you're going to run out of methylamine. I've got a new recipe where you don't need methylamine, and it'll be a little bit under $1 million, maybe. Walt's coughing. I think he might be playing it up a little bit, trying to look pathetic. He says, I need the money. I've used it all running from the law. And he says, Todd, talk to your uncle. I'll come over tonight. Lydia says, okay, he's leaving now. Walt's exit Walt out of the coffee shop, and then Todd's like, well, we're not going to work with him. And she's like, come on, Todd, listen. She's like, no.
Spell it out for you.
Right. So basically, she's saying, when he comes to your uncle's tonight, kill him. He's done. You saw him. She said you would be doing him a favor.
Yeah.
So then we see Walt in the desert with one last science project.
One more MacGyver.
So he has his M16 machine gun, and he has some kind of lever system.
Garage door opener. I thought it was a garage door opener.
It was. Oh, was it a garage door opener?
Well, wouldn't that be like you would do that with your key?
Yeah. Okay.
Like your thing, right? So I think that was I think it was the garage door opener that he kind of jury rigged.
Did you ever see The Life of Pi?
I did.
This episode reminded me of Life of Pi because there's a scene in Life of Pi, and if you haven't watched Life of Pi, just roll with me right now. There's a scene where there's a kid who is his ship crashes. He's on a lifeboat, and then eventually he makes it to an island, and he could live on this island maybe forever, but he decides to leave. And a lot of debate after that movie was saying, well, if you're surviving, are you really living? And you gotta think that rigging an M16 to a garage door opener and putting ricin in Lydia's tea, that's living. He's got to be feeling good right now. It's probably better than sitting in a cabin reading newspapers. Would you agree with me on that?
From his perspective, if he's not doing what he loves, he's dead.
Yes. Because remember, it was just a few days ago where he was paying a guy $10,000 to hang out with him for 1 hour.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I was going to make you that same offer. This podcast, about an hour. That was my rate.
Okay. All right. Well, right now it's for free.
But
I could work there. Yeah, I could take you out to dinner sometime, maybe. So after the desert scene, Marie calls Skylar and she says, Walt's in town. The car he stole was at the Denny's. I've got DEA agents here, and I know they're going to be police or DEA at your house because that's what Hank would do. Well, it turns out...
They're at the school also.
Well, it turns out it wasn't too hard for Walt to see Skylar. And when this scene happened, when she said, well, that's what Hank would have done, I thought to myself, this is such a bittersweet ending because everyone in the show was so great. Hank was so great at his job, piecing together all the clues and then pointing the finger at Gus Fring, and everyone said, you're crazy, Gus Fring? Hank was so good. Gus was so good. He is gone. Mike Ehrmantraut was so good at what he did. He was gone. And Walt is probably now at 30, 40%, and in a half hour, he's going to be gone. So it was a true goodbye to all the greats. And then you can even take that to Breaking Bad itself. Breaking Bad, one of the greatest shows on TV. We say goodbye to Breaking Bad. And Gus, Mike, Hank, Walt, and Breaking Bad went out at the top of their games.
I noticed no Gomez on that. He wasn't on top of his game.
Steve Gomez, Saul Goodman.
Little love for Gomi, come on, man.
We say goodbye to Saul Goodman, although we will say hello to Saul Goodman in the spinoff, in the prequel.
Yeah.
So Skylar hangs up the phone with Marie, and the greatest shot of the episode, the camera pans, and we see that Walt is behind the post in the kitchen. Whew. He pulls out his wallet. She's like, I don't want your money. And Walt said, yeah, I know. Last time I talked with Junior, I kind of figured that out. He gives her the lotto ticket. He says, these are the coordinates to a burial site. He does tell Skylar that he did not kill Hank. He says, that's where I buried my money. The guys who I'm getting tonight, they took my money and they killed Hank. And he also said, maybe you can use this and get some type of deal. I don't know anything about
it. I thought it was great that was like almost, you know, the last word of advice that Saul gave him, that like, you know, I don't know what you're thinking, but like, she's not in the clear. Despite your phone call, you know, you think you got her out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this was his last, you know, way of, all right, let me get, you know, distance you completely from me. Let me give you a little bit of leverage. Now you have something that you can work with, and now you can be in the clear.
And then he says, you know what? I was always doing this. She's like, don't say it again. How many times are you going to say it? You're doing it for the family. And then we see Walter White again. He said, no, I did it for me. And then,
and I think that quite honestly, that was the most important moment of maybe the whole series, in my opinion. Because, you know, part of what was frustrating in some sense of that everybody else around him could see, and he had this complete blind spot when it came to himself of admitting, you know, to himself what was actually going on. And so when you look at, like, just from a personal growth, for what it's worth at this point, you know, he turned that corner and realized that, you know, I'm to blame here. It's all me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not getting anybody else, and I did it for me, and that's it.
And then the saddest part of the episode, he says, before I go, can I see her one last time? There were some tears in my household, not going to lie. He leaves, and then he goes behind the apartment complex, and he sees Walt Jr. get off the bus and go inside. And obviously, if you watched last episode, you knew that Walt couldn't confront Walt Jr.
And all honesty, I thought that was maybe even more heartbreaking than him saying goodbye to Holly. Because part of what this episode was for me is like him saying his goodbyes to everybody that was important in his life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, starting with, you know, his partners, you know, from long ago, his wife, his daughter, you know, Jesse, you know, Lydia, if you really want to call it a goodbye, you know, but, you know, he basically had a direct contact with everybody that was important to him, except for Walt Jr. He was the only one that he didn't get a chance to really say goodbye to.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, but
mm-hmm. And
I guess it couldn't have gone. I mean, even if he had tried, it would have erupted probably just like, you know, when he tried calling him on the phone.
Yeah. Now, speaking of goodbyes, I know a lot of people probably wanted this to be the greatest Breaking Bad episode ever, but I don't think it could have been, because goodbyes, even in life, are never the best moment of any visit. A goodbye always happens at the end. You know, whenever you have friends come over for a weekend and you say, all right, see you guys, have a good trip. That's not the best part of the weekend. The best part of the weekend maybe happened in the middle or maybe near the end, but at the end, a goodbye is never the best part of anything. And there's a famous quote, Prof, parting is such sweet sorrow. So now, did you?
Yeah.
I don't think this was the greatest episode of Breaking Bad ever. Would you agree with that?
I mean, I think there were great moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that more of what made it great was what led up to this point, right? That you know, and I appreciate, you know, the comments from Vince that I had heard that this ending was perfect for this show,
mm-hmm.
right? That to compare it to other series is unfair because it was so different than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, he said for this show, because we had such a definite beginning and end, we had a story to tell, that it needed, you know, all the pieces tied together. And that's what really this episode was just putting the bow on it. But it was the gift inside that, you know, everybody's going to remember.
Right. It's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. You're not going to help me? You're not going to harmonize with me, Prof?
No, oh, no, not getting over a cold.
Oh,
maybe I could do the sexy, hey, baby.
I don't think there is one in that song. You left
no,
me out
there isn't.
Me.
That's it, though.
Left me hanging there. Dang it, Prof. All right. So then we
right,
go
I'll,
to...
I'll forgive the 10,000 then.
All right. We go to the finale of Felina. Waltz at the compound. Kenny meets him at the gate. He's talking about the car, and Walt couldn't even fake it. He couldn't even play along with Kenny. He's like, well, I don't know. He's like, what kind of car?
Kenny, I don't care about the car.
And I like,
come on.
Kenny's like, park over here, and Walt kind of plays dumb, and then at the end, he puts up his hand. He's like, I don't know, and Kenny's like, oh, all right, whatever. Now, here's the deal. I want to explain this to people who may hate on this scene. Walt has been to that compound before. He knows the vibe there. He knows who will be there. He knows how they work. He knows how to work and how to tweak Jack. So to me, all of this made sense. He was not going into this blindly. So if someone said, oh yeah, like how could he get the car in there and how could he do this? He's been there before. He knows the vibe and he's Walt. He's a smart dude. So that's how I explain everything away in this scene.
This whole episode, I feel, was very convenient in a lot of areas, and we're all just supposed to look the other way.
Yes.
You can justify it however you want, but it was all very convenient.
It was meant to happen. It was destiny.
Sure.
So he says, listen, Jack, I want to do business with you. And Jack's like, no. He's like, but you're going to run out of methylamine. And he said, no.
I don't care.
She'll get more. I forget, was it Kenny that someone puts the gun to Walt's head, and he's like, well, should I do it? And Jack's like, not here, not in my room, take him out back.
Not in my living room, come on.
Right, and then Walt, keep in mind, he knows how to work Jack, and he said, listen, you partnered with Jesse. You said you were going to kill him, and now you're in business with him. That rubbed Jack the wrong way, because he wanted to kill Jesse a couple episodes ago. Todd tries to step in. He's like, Todd, no. He's like, you bring Jesse here. I want to show you. I want to show you. He comes in. He's like, there, see? He ain't my partner. And then we should also point out there was that whole drama of Jack's guys taking Walt's wallet and keys. He's like, what about my wallet?
Tell me Walt wasn't like, really? You're taking my keys? Oh, crap. My whole plan's screwed. Right.
What like, am I going to do? Did he didn't have a backup plan. So fortunately, they put the keys on the pool table. And yet again,
very convenient.
But the pieces fit perfectly in this episode. He reached back a few times. When Jack looked the other way, he got the keys in his hands. And then he faces down Jesse, and he tackles them. And Jack and everyone there would think, yeah, why wouldn't you want Jesse to be? I mean, you paid for us to kill him. Why wouldn't you tackle him? But what Walt was doing was he was getting Jesse low to the ground, and he was also covering him because right as he pressed the keys, the trunk opens and the M16 fires left and right and left and right, taking out every one of Jack's guys except Todd. And I loved that the gun shot for an extended period of time, even after everyone was killed. Because once again,
yeah.
if this was network TV, if this was a Hollywood movie, it would kill all the guys and then the gun would stop firing. But they had to empty all of the rounds in the M16.
Yep.
So we see,
and I love the. There was the one guy, I forget who it was, who was in the reclining chair,
the massage chair.
That like afterwards, it kept reclining. And originally, I thought maybe like, well, he was low enough, maybe he got spared. He's gonna have to. No, he got it.
And then Todd looks out, looks at the car, and he says, "Hey, Mr. White." And then Jesse, have a field day with him. How did you feel during that scene?
I mean, it really couldn't have gone any other way, quite honestly. I mean, you knew by this point that everybody who had anything to do, with this operation was going down. If anybody was going to take Todd out, you know, it had to have been Jesse for what he put him through. I mean, and the animosity between them, I mean, goes back from the very beginning when they first met. And then especially when he shot Drew Sharp, the little kid, you know. I think, you know, from that point on, it was like, I'm taking this dude out.
Yeah, I'm a nonviolent man, but in TV world, Todd had it coming.
But on the other hand, if you think about, like, did Todd put Jesse through more or less than Walt did?
Oh,
maybe physically, but emotionally.
You know what? We need to have another one of these podcasts because there's a lot of Jesse apologists out there. And if Jesse would have made up his own mind a long time ago, he wouldn't have gotten into all the trouble he got into.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, Jesse had many chances. And finally, and we bring up a good point, a beautiful point right here. Walt says, you want this. And Jesse says, no, you say you want this. And then Walt says, I want this. And then Jesse says, do it yourself. So he finally learns his lesson. He finally learns to think on his own.
Yeah. Well, then the interesting connection, though, is that a couple episodes back, when he was supposed to meet him at the park or the square, right, and he calls him on the phone, he said something that, you know, in closing, I'm not going to do what you tell me to do anymore.
Right.
And so the very, like, I felt like the very fact that Walt was telling him to do it, he's like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not doing what you tell me to do anymore. If you want it, that's on you.
And if only Jesse could have thought like this months ago or a year ago. Yeah, season one. He would still have Jane right now, maybe. Well, I don't see. That's for another episode. But I think if he stuck with Jane, they would have both overdosed eventually.
Yeah, I don't know that there was a happy ending on that
right
path. But
so then Jesse says, do it yourself. And we hear Todd's phone ringing. Oh, we should also point out that Uncle Jack is still alive.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, hold up a second. You think he's reaching for a gun, but he reaches for his cigarette. He's like, I know you want the money. And Walt doesn't even let him finish. Bullet to the head. Uncle Jack out of the equation. So then Todd's phone rings. It's a song called Lydia, I guess. They keep saying Lydia.
Creepy
Lydia
ringtone. That's great.
So no longer Blinded Me with Science, but Lydia. So, you know, it's all about Lydia now. No more Mr. White. And Lydia says, well, did you guys do it? And Walt says, yep. And then Lydia's like, whoa, who is this? And he's like, it's Walter. And if you're not feeling good right now, there's a reason for it, because I put ricin in that stevia crap that you always put in your tea. So we know that Lydia will not be living much longer. Although, I know nothing about ricin. If she took ricin that day, could she go to the hospital quickly and maybe get it pumped out of her system?
Well, that's what I was wondering too. Like, if it were me, I'm hanging up that phone and calling 911 like ASAP. Would think that would be a tip and that she might survive, but maybe not. I guess we're not supposed to believe that.
Yeah, because I always thought it was 2 to 3 days, but maybe once it's in your system, maybe there's no going back. So then, now, earlier you didn't like the fact that Walt was talking on the phone and Jesse could hear him?
I didn't have a problem with that. I mean, at that point, Walt really...
Because for me, that was Walt communicating to Jesse, hey, Lydia's out of the picture. Lydia's not going to be looking for you. I had that ricin capsule, you may remember. That ricin capsule is gone. No ricin in the picture. No Lydia in the picture. You are free. And if you watched, he gave him a little nod. And then Jesse kind of gives him a facial gesture. And then he drives off in his car. And he's howling like a man who's loving life. How many times did we see Jesse go into those deep depressions? And even though life sucks, even though he saw Andrea get shot, after being a slave for 4 or 5 months, getting out of that compound feels great. And then We have the final scene. Walt, bleeding from a gunshot wound, goes into his lab, or goes into the lab that he pretty much created. And he, Tori says that he was a proud teacher. I know Vince Gilligan said it was his precious, so he was looking over his setup, the thing that made him alive, and he's like, yes, this is all me. But Tori said, in the end, he looked at the work of his student, and he's like, this slacker student who had all this potential but let it go to waste, look what he did. This is what I taught him. So we begin Breaking Bad with Walt as a chemistry teacher, and we end Breaking Bad with Walt as a chemistry teacher. That was our take on it.
Yeah, I don't know if I quite buy that. But, I mean, it's an interesting interpretation.
Yes.
I mean, I more took it as, like, here is the one thing that I built, you know.
I definitely see that. So my question is, who called the police?
You know, that's a good question. Because one would assume that they're pretty much out in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if I, you know, set off a submachine gun, however many rounds, that even that nobody would be around to hear it,
mm-hmm.
calling the cops. I mean, my theory is that before Walt went there, that he called the cops.
Mm, okay.
Because he knew, okay, I'm going to give myself a window, whatever, to get done what I need to get done. I'm going to assume that I'm going to carry through with it. And if I'm alive, then they can take me in and I'll be content. If not, I'll be dead and it won't matter.
Okay. Yeah, the great thing is, though, we can come up with our own conclusions. One of my conclusions is that Walt doesn't die. He's just injured. We don't know for sure that he's dead. And maybe he testifies and he totally gets Skyler off the hook.
I guess, except that I believe that Vince basically, I mean, he came out and said, yeah, Walt died.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know.
So, you know, if you want to ignore the creator of this whole world and form your own opinion, that's fine.
And another thing to think about is, does Jesse ever testify? Because he saw everything. So he could clear Skyler. And he could say, listen, it wasn't Walt who killed Hank. It was Jack who killed Hank.
Well, I guess the thing is that, like, other than, and this is something I was always curious about. So, like, you know, when Hank and Gomi were, you know, kind of putting their little schemes together, I don't think anybody else knew about that at the agency.
Well, Marie knows, though.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I guess.
So if you compare the last episode of Breaking Bad to the first episode, Walt has cancer in both. He knows mm-hmm. that he's going to die. In the first episode, he wants to give money to his family. In the last episode, his family will get $9 million. And the number was a lot smaller in the first or second season. It was like, was it 700,000 something or 600,000 something?
Yeah, that he calculated meticulously.
And he got in a good dig at Elliot and Gretchen. Now, albeit there was a lot of collateral damage along the way, but his initial mission, his initial goal was met. He got his family some money, but a lot of collateral damage along the way.
But at what cost? Yeah, what cost?
And a shattered family.
So were you, so let me ask the question, I guess, overall, were you content with the finale?
I don't know yet.
Okay.
Because I always judge finales a year after the fact.
Oh, we'll see. Then you will have to have another podcast.
Because I also was a big fan of The Office, and I wasn't crazy about The Office's finale.
Okay.
I didn't know how I felt about Rocky Balboa, the last Rocky movie, after I watched it. But then a year or two later, I watched it again, and I'm like, you know what? That was a nice ending. I like the way that Rocky went out. So I don't like to say goodbye, so I need some time to think about it, and then next year I'll be able to answer that question. Now, what did you think of it?
Let me answer it this way, is that I think a lot of what happened that a lot of people anticipated, but the way it played out wasn't necessarily the way that anybody would have predicted it, if that makes sense. Right. So I think, like, one of the strengths of the show is that even when you kind of saw something coming, they went about it in a very unique way. Mm-hmm. And I think the finale was consistent with that.
Okay.
I think that that we should all just really appreciate what we've experienced for the last, 6 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the legacy will really be the ultimate testament here. But, I mean, this is really one of, if not the best, written, acted, executed shows that we've ever seen. Completely original. I don't know that you'll ever see anything, you know, quite the same again. And it's just been a real joy to, take this journey with the White family and all their associates and whatnot. So, it's happy that we reached a resolution here, but certainly sad that we won't see any more episodes.
Yeah. It's, for someone who is striving for creative nirvana in life, it was so refreshing to see a show that accomplished that. And then to think, how long until there's a show like this again? Or is this it? Is this the greatest show that we'll ever see? Who knows?
Yeah, and I think that maybe, you know, all of those things are absolutely true. But I think what, and I believe this about a lot of series, is that it had a story to tell, they told it, and that was it. And this is how long it took. And yeah, you could argue that, like, you know, maybe some things got drawn out and, you know, whatnot. But how many series that start out great and then just kind of end up meandering and then puttering out at the end? And I think that's, you know, what's really, in the long run, going to set this show apart is that, it just continued to get better and better and better. And I think that, you know, probably, you know, two episodes in particular of this last eight might be, you know, the two best shows of the series of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So to go out on such a high note, I think is more unique than anything else.
Yep. Well, that's going to do it for us. I want you to go to bed right now.
Okay.
Thank you for doing this, Prof.
Always a pleasure, Jim.
Yes, for Professor D, my name is Jim Shear. Thank you, Vince Gilligan and the Breaking Bad crew. We will see yins later.
So long, farewell, I'll be to say goodnight.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.